At that very time, there were some present who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Jesus asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all the other Galileans? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Last week was a very heavy week in the news. Last Friday, the world's attention was turned to Christchurch, New Zealand, as Muslims praying in their place of worship were murdered by someone who thought that people different from him didn't matter. The world reeled, questioning, lamenting, crying out for justice and peace. Also on that Friday in the afternoon, a more local story took place in town. Now, suffering in this city is drawn out in many ways, but on that night, it was one man whose name the public doesn't know, but a man that decided that his life wasn't worth it, and so he put himself on the bridge above the Don Valley. Now, after a few hours, he was pulled to safety. But for those few hours, the eastern side of the city was slowed down. The Don Valley Parkway was closed. The subways couldn't cross the bridge. East was cut off from west. Thousands of people were brought to a standstill. Now, I can't know what was going through his mind, and I don't want to put my thoughts into his mind and how he was feeling that day. I don't want to tell his story for him. But as I saw the story in the news, I saw a man who was likely in pain, suffering in mind or spirit, viewing himself as one who didn't matter, as someone who felt that no one was looking out for him. And these are feelings that affect many of us at some point in our lives. And while the effects on each of us is different, we are all left questioning at some point, trying to make sense of the world. Now, the people surrounding Jesus in today's gospel reading are asking similar questions. The Galilean pilgrims to the temple have been murdered by Pilate's forces, likely within the temple, with their blood mixing with the blood of the animals who were sacrificed. 18 people have died when the Tower of Siloam has fallen and crushed them. The city of Jerusalem, the heart of the Jewish faith for Jesus and his followers, is not a perfect place at the moment. Trouble is happening, and people are asking, why? Just as we are journeying through Lent, progressing toward the Passion story of Good Friday, Luke is telling the story of Jesus' journey toward Jerusalem as he teaches and he walks alongside his followers in anticipation of his coming suffering in the city of the temple. Jesus assures those in the crowd that those who have died, those who have suffered, are no worse than the others, no worse than anyone else. Their action, their lives, their very being is not what led to their death. But it's not really a full answer. Jesus doesn't give us a full explanation for why bad things are happening to good people. Even though those people have suffered through no fault of their own, Jesus says there is still a need for repentance. And if the crowd surrounding Jesus wants to avoid the same fate, they must also repent. And so Jesus turns to a parable about a fig tree. A story that scholars and preachers have argued with each other about over its meaning for years, asking, who is the tree? Who is the owner? Who is the gardener? Who are we to see as ourselves in this story? And as we heard, the owner has a fig tree, but it has not produced fruit after 3 years, and so he wants to cut it down. But the gardener asks for just one more year to nurture and support the tree before it is removed. And many questions again remain. Why hasn't the tree produced fruit? Has it been watered? Has it been given enough time? What is the tree expected to do on its own? Like the crowd that surrounds Jesus, we find ourselves asking the same questions. Why have certain people died, whether in their temple or church or synagogue or mosque? What is the meaning behind the suffering? When a fire breaks out in community housing in our neighborhood and residents are displaced, what is the meaning of the suffering? Trying to make sense of this world and questioning our own worth, we hear Jesus' parable and we feel the guilt of failure. We are often drawn to see ourselves as the fig tree, as the one not producing fruit. And when the owner of the vineyard sees us and knows that we have not done what is expected, he asks for us to be cut down. As we said in our confession this morning, we have wandered far from your home. Again and again we lose our way. We turn inward, afraid of the world around us. We have sinned, and we need to repent. Now, that is one way to see the story. But I think Jesus is going much deeper here, and I think there's much more to this, much more to understand from the parable. And now, rather than understanding ourselves as a different character, as one other character within the story, as maybe the owner or the gardener, I think it's helpful to take on a second role. As the owner of the garden, when we're wandering the rows of plants that represent us and our lives, we tend to ignore what is blossoming, what is living, what is growing that we have planted. Instead, we wander our vineyard and get stuck on that fig tree, the tree that is not producing fruit, and we see that as our life. We fear we have not contributed to the world. We fear that we are taking too long to succeed. We don't see the potential of what that tree holds, of what our life holds. All we are stuck on is that the tree is barren, and we are led to despair. Now, Jesus is telling his story to the crowd, and the owner has instructed the gardener to remove the tree. But the gardener sees things differently. Rather than seeing the tree in its current state, the gardener sees the potential. And the fig tree is supposed to be a very hardy plant which requires very little care. It should be producing fruit after 3 years. But every tree and every garden is a little bit different, as any of us who have failed at growing carrots or tomatoes in our backyard garden might know. Finding ourselves with only tiny harvests, as our neighbors seem to have fruit and vegetables that will last through the winter. The fig tree should be producing fruit, but some trees take up to 6 years to get to that point. The tree shouldn't need watering, but maybe it has been an extra dry season. The tree shouldn't need fertilizer, but maybe the previous plant in that spot has left the ground with minimal nutrients. Jesus doesn't tell the crowd whether the tree has been nurtured for the past 3 years or not. But now the gardener has stepped in and has committed to caring for that plant, nurturing it and supporting it. Does the tree produce fruit? Jesus doesn't tell the crowd. Jesus doesn't tell us. The gardener asks for one more year, and that is where we leave the story, questioning and hopeful. The tree may produce fruit. Or maybe the gardener will come back in a year's time and ask for one more chance. What we do know is that the fig tree, which is supposed to grow easily and care for itself, is now supported and cared for by someone else, by a gardener who sees its potential. And we can bring that same confidence into our own lives, knowing that the gardener, as God and Jesus and the Spirit in our lives will support us. When we perceive ourselves as unfruitful and failing to fulfill our purpose in life, we hear words of confidence from Jesus that there is another party looking out for us and holding us up. In our next hymn, we will sing the words, "There is no place where earth's sorrows are more felt than up in heaven. There is not place where earth's failings have such kindly judgment given." As we feel sorrow and see our own failings, God feels those alongside us. And rather than the harsh judgment of ripping the tree out of the soil, God gives the kind judgment of forgiveness and nurture, seeing us for who we truly are and our potential, rather than how we perceive ourselves. For some of us, the world and our own bodies stand in the way of hearing these words. For people who suffer from depression and mental illness, these words might not be heard. The Bell Let's Talk campaign has reached a fairly big status in society and has gotten people to start discussing mental illness and the need for support to be out in the open. But if you follow along on Twitter or social media, some of you may have seen the alternate campaign that is popular among those who have family members and friends who struggle with mental health, recognizing that people in need may not be able to reach out. And so they encourage people to reach in, to inquire and offer love and support to those who are not able to ask for it. This is how Jesus performs his ministry, reaching in, providing comfort, and we are called to join in that mission, to reach into people's lives and to help people stuck with a negative perception of themselves to hear that God is there for them, as are we. This reaching in and support echoes the promise we make to one another in the baptismal rite, and as we heard this morning in the installation of council. The person being baptized, the council being installed, or the parents are asked to renounce the devil and the forces of evil, to repent from that which takes them away from God. But these promises that we made are not made in isolation. They are made in the midst of a community that supports each other, and the word is shared among all of those present. The group supports the one. That is how the man on the bridge saw his situation change last Friday. Feeling alone and abandoned, he was surrounded by emergency and support workers, showing him love and care, telling him he had worth and value. Muslims going into their Friday prayers this week were greeted by rings of peace, supporters from the community gathering around them as a sign of love and nurture and support. The question still remains about what happens tomorrow and the week after and the next year. Where does the fig tree and where do we end up? But we live in that mystery, comforted in the knowledge that our worth is not defined by our perception of ourselves as the tree with no fruit, but is defined by God, who sees us as worthy and valued. God sees the potential in us just as God sees the potential in each fig tree. And so let us take this good news to the world, reaching into people's lives to help them hear and see that reality, knowing they are supported by us and by God, their creator and nurturer. Amen.